Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. Beverly Williams is our guest, as I promised you, the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year, Small Business Advocate of the Year. I'll get that out in a minute. The Small Business Home-Based Advocate, Small Business Administrations. Let me start over. Beverly Williams, folks, is the 2002 Home-Based Business Advocate of the Year, as chosen, rightly so, by the SBA. She's our good friend, and I'm going to stop talking now. Well, Beverly, welcome back.
Thank you, and good morning.
I just get so excited when you join us, Beverly. I don't know what to do.
I can't do anything about that for you, Jim. I'm sorry.
Folks, Beverly Williams told me about 2 or 3 years ago, probably 3 years ago, that she and her husband, John, had a dream of moving up into the Maryland Mountains and building a log cabin. Mm-hmm. And it has now come true, hasn't it, Beverly?
Well, it has. We are here. We have moved into our log home. It's not finished yet, so we're living among the construction, but we are here. In fact, I am doing this phone call from my front porch, looking out over the mountains as we speak.
You know, you didn't have to rub it in, Beverly.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I just love this.
Let me tell you something, folks. Many, many years ago, when I was in college, I was going to get a physical, a flight physical, Beverly, and the guy that I was with, I sort of knew him, but I didn't know him well. He wanted me to stop at a liquor store. I was driving. He wanted me to stop at a liquor store, and I thought, well, okay, whatever. So I stopped, and the guy bought a pint of gin and got in the car, and I took off down the road again. We had 100 miles to drive.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the top of the bottle off the top off the bottle of gin, a pint of gin, and throws the lid out the window. He turns to me and holds up the pint, and he says, "Now that's when you know a man is serious about his drinking." Ladies and gentlemen, Beverly Williams moved from Montgomery County, where she could have had her choice of any kind of a small business place to operate from.
Mm-hmm.
She could have moved out of her home office anytime she wanted to, but now she lives up in the mountains of Montgomery of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, that's when you know that a home-based business person is serious about being home-based.
That's right. I have no choice, especially...
She has no choice.
We live on a hill that gets snowed in quite frequently, and we may or may not get up and down it, so...
The cap is off of her liquor bottle.
That's right. Having the home-based business here, I have a beautiful office in the loft that looks out over a nature conservancy, and this is about as close to heaven as you get, being home-based and having that kind of a view.
But there's already a little controversy there, though, Beverly.
Oh?
Well, don't you already have someone who's invading your space there?
Oh, yes. Well, we have a frequent visitor to our property, particularly to my bird feeders, a black bear. We believe it's a yearling, a little over 200 pounds probably.
Who's not showing you the proper amount of respect.
He is not. And I stood on the porch and yelled at him yesterday, and he just looked at me like, "Excuse me, are you talking to me?"
Isn't that the way John looks at you?
No. I and my husband better trained than this bear. That's one of the wonderful things about being in the mountains is that it's a very different kind of life, including having to live with the bears. We've invaded their territory, and
I was going to say, Beverly, I feel the need to be an advocate for the bear here.
Well,
you know, you're acting like the bear should be leaving, and the bear's actually thinking, you know what? I was here thousands of years ago.
Well, this one was probably born last year, but
the people in your part of the world have there are two kinds of folks there, don't you?
What's that?
The been-heres and the come-heres.
Yes, that's true.
And you're a come-here. The bears have been here.
That's true. I agree with that. And I'm willing to live in peace, but he may not have my suet feeders.
you're gonna have to put your suet feeders farther off the ground then.
Well, we've put them away from the house at least because we didn't want him visiting on the porch.
Yeah, and he would too, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. He's they've
Especially
been known to do.
Especially the yearling kind.
Yes, they have no fear of us, and that's not good. So we need to learn to, or we have to teach him that he should be out foraging for other food and not for my suet feeders. because it's really dangerous for him to be this familiar with being this close to humans and finding easy sources of food. So
you know, Beverly, I was just thinking as you were talking about where you're conducting this interview from, and and I was thinking about so many of my brain trust members are home based. Many of them, very successful people who are authors, speakers, trainers, consultants, and some entrepreneurs, some you know, regular business owners who have sort of more more mainstream, typical type businesses that we interview are home based.
Right. Yes, it is becoming the place of choice to operate a business. Whether you actually conduct the majority of your business in your home office or whether you use it as a base. You know, for a lot of speakers and consultants, they do a lot of traveling and come back and forth to their home. I'm fortunate enough that most of the time I get to spend in my office doing things, but it really has become the place of choice for a small business, and I'm just so thrilled to see so many more people realizing their dream. I have taught at the community college here in Western Maryland for a number of years, even though I didn't live here. And now that I live here, I keep running into people who have been in my classes and come up to me and say, oh, you finally got to move here. Guess what? I got my business going. And
wow.
I just to see the excitement on their
face. Light in their eyes.
Oh, yes. It's just wonderful, and it's so energizing for me. It's just wonderful to know that people are realizing their dream more and more every day. And it's wonderful.
Well, you know, Beverly, I one of the speeches that I give has a component in it about the way the culture has changed toward home base, toward being home base, and including teleworking.
Right.
And it's the same phenomenon in a lot of ways, in some ways. And when I talk about when I ask people to raise their hands about of who in the audience is home based, I get a few hands who stick up.
Mm-hmm.
People who stick their hands up and.
Right.
And I asked them, what is the difference between how they were treated, say, 10 years ago as a home-based business and how people respond to them now when they say they're home business? And, of course, the comments are that, you know, it's like the difference between night and day.
Oh, absolutely.
Our culture has changed. Now it's no longer weird to be home-based. It's now cool to be home-based.
Yes. It's enviable.
But it's still a business.
Yes.
It's still not easy. It's fraught with challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, we're going to cover some of those challenges. Beverly, I think, Beverly, you got some comments that people have sent you, some questions.
That's correct.
You want to give us a couple of those, and we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with the Bear Lady, Beverly Williams.
Gonna take a freight train.
We're back. It's 23 after. Beverly Williams is our guest and our good friend. She's the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. And we're talking about your home-based business. Or maybe the one you're thinking about. Maybe the one you're dreaming about. Or maybe the one you just moved out of and you still have fond memories of when you were home-based. I know I do. Okay, Beverly, you've been getting some comments from folks, haven't you?
I have. I've been getting some emails. And I have two young men, well, one young man and one younger man, who have started a business here. They're actually with a gentleman who helped us do the initial construction on our home here. And we've become quite good friends, and they decided to go out on their own and start their own construction business. They and some of the emails have been indicating a common problem. I usually get one of two comments. Either, I've started my business and it's so slow, how do I get more business? The other end of the scale is, I'm getting my business going, but I'm so busy, I haven't had time to do the things I need to do to get it formally organized. How can I find the time? And that's what I wanted to talk about.
So no business is a problem, and too much business is a problem.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, I'm sure the people who don't have enough business wish they had the other problem.
Only the second one is a high-class problem.
It is a high-class problem, and it's a wonderful problem to have in some ways, but it can also be very frustrating, and it can be... Dangerous isn't probably the best word for it, but it may fit. When you start a business and you have so much work to do from the very beginning, or even before you've actually formed the company, it can be difficult to find the time to do the things that you need to do to form it legally, to get your paperwork in order, to get your record keeping in order. And what happens if you don't spend the time doing that is you run into trouble down the road, either taxes or with legality. And so it becomes an issue of time management and prioritizing what's important. When the young man came to me and said, "We're so busy, we haven't been able to do anything. We just got our name registered." And I was a little concerned because if they had continued working under their business name but not registered it, someone else could come along and decide, "I want to use that name, register the name," and right. then suddenly these guys who have been operating under this business name for months now mm-hmm. cannot use it. They could be legally in trouble. And so it really is important to sit down and say, okay, these are the things I absolutely have to do. One is to get your legal situation situated. Get your name registered. Get your company formed. Whatever form you decide you want to do, get that paperwork going, whether you're going to do it yourself or whether you're going to have a lawyer or an accountant or someone else do it for you. I talked in the past about the importance of doling out some of the work to other people, the things that you don't like to do, the things you don't know how to do well, and or the things that are not worth your time. If you are making $100 an hour or $50 an hour doing what you do, and you still need to sit down and fill out all the paperwork for getting your business incorporated, what you pay someone else to do it is going to be well worth it.
Well, and that's the evolutionary, one of the evolutionary processes of all business owners, Beverly, you know, mm-hmm. because when you're in the beginning, you do everything.
Right.
You mop the floor, you take out mm-hmm. the garbage, you mow the yard, the whole thing.
You wear the whole hat.
But as you grow, as your business grows, and as you become more vital to, you start realizing that you're more important to the rainmaking part mm-hmm. of the business, to the leading of the being the leader of this organization,
right.
And you move farther away from some of those tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is to know when to turn loose of some of them, isn't it?
Exactly. And this is a critical thing that you need to move away from if you're so busy that you haven't been able to get to it yet. One of the other difficulties they're having is getting their invoicing out, because that takes time.
Nothing should be more difficult. Nothing should get in the way of that, folks.
Absolutely not. I mean, you cannot continue a business if you don't have an income.
If you don't get to sleep tonight, you get the invoices out. Yes. If you don't get to eat today, you get the invoices out.
Exactly. But they're having difficulty finding the time because they haven't set up their record keeping mm-hmm. Yet. So they're handwriting invoices. They're
Beverly, that's an interesting thing that happens. I've seen this quite often, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know of a situation right now where a small business did some business for me, and I want to pay them,
mm-hmm.
but I want an invoice. So
right.
That's how we operate. Give me an invoice, we'll write you a check.
Exactly.
And they can't seem to get me an invoice.
Right.
We paid them in advance. I mm-hmm. actually insisted on that. We mm-hmm. gave them some money in advance because I knew that they were struggling, but they need to get me an invoice.
Right.
And it's interesting how many people have problems with that.
Well,
and that should be as automatic as saying, "I'm ready to eat." I mean, and sitting down and eating somewhere. I mean,
exactly.
You just got to do that.
It's that important to your survival. If you don't eat, you will not survive.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was a classic case of that when he had his handyman business. He loved doing what he did. He loved going out and fixing things. He loved the putter and figure out how to do something. But he hated coming home at night exhausted, tired, just wanting to relax and get away from the business, but he still had his invoicing to do.
Yep.
And if he
and only he knew what he did and how
exactly.
to charge.
Exactly. I tried to help him.
You couldn't help him, could he?
But I couldn't. He had it in his mind, or he had it on his calendar in cryptic
right.
notes. He was the one who had to do it.
Yep.
And it's really important for people to understand you must do those things that help you survive.
Well said. Excellent last words, Beverly. Good job today. Congratulations again on your new home.
Thank you.
Say hello to the bear, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I'll be here. Thank you.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back 29 after. I'll be right back with Governor Jim Gilmore. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.